Okay, so let's begin. Today we're going to discuss the third item in the list of Perek Shira, Gan Eden. Okay, it's a little frightening to talk about Gan Eden when most of us associate Perek Shira with things that we can relate to. The earth, the heaven, the sun, the moon, all different types of animals. When you take out the book, the picture book, I don't know if any of the picture books have a picture for Gan Eden. Most of the Perek Shira picture books are famous for their beautiful, exquisite pictures. Yet to find a picture of Gan Eden in the Art Scroll color book for Perek Shira. What is the pasuk for Gan Eden? What is the song that Gan Eden sings? Uri Tzafon. Tzafon here refers to the north. It simply refers to the north wind. May the north wake up, be aroused. Pasuk Shir Hashirim. Shir Hashirim, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tezayin. Okay, Shir Hashirim, Dalet, Tezayin, Uri Tzafon. May the north wind be aroused. Uvohi Seimon. And may the south wind arrive. May it come. Hafichi Gani. May you blow, may your winds blow on my garden. And as the winds blow, that will cause the spices that are present in the garden to flow. The fragrance will flow forth when the wind blows upon them. Yizlu visamof, kama. And after that happens, Yavo Dodi Ligano, may my beloved, referring to Hashem, the one that is speaking here simply refers to Klal Yisrael. And now they say, may my beloved come to his garden, to Hashem's garden, the ochal, may he eat pri migodah, from the fruit, the delightful fruit. Migodah means delightful. Chashuvim, fruit that is distinguished. The fruit that is distinguished. Okay, so that's the pasuk. We'll discuss a few things, one thing at a time. First of all, this Gan Eden, is this a spiritual Gan Eden, or is this a Gan Eden that is somewhere on this earth? So many commentators want to suggest that this is not what we call Gan Eden. We think of Gan Eden as, you know, spiritual, the afterlife. After Me'ev Yeshem, the neshama goes to a place called Gan Eden. That's difficult, because what would that be doing in? What would that be doing here in Perek Shir, which appears to be a book that's a little more practical? It's a book which we can relate to, as you mentioned before. We can relate to. We can sing the songs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, what they suggest, some commentators suggest, is Gan Eden refers to a place on this world. Now we don't know exactly where this is, but it doesn't have to be a place that an ancient place. Every person looks at a different part of this world as Gan Eden. For some people, the Swiss Alps is Gan Eden. For some people, they'll go to a bungalow in the Catskills. I don't know why. That's called Gan Eden. I know someone very well. He looks for the whole year for to go to the bungalow. He just loves it. It just means everything to him. To each his own.
There must be an Eden bungalow.
To each his own.
Yeah, right.
Gan Eden here refers to a place, a real place. Every person in this world, when you want an escape, you want to get out of this place. You want to go to a place where you feel comfortable with the air. You enjoy the air. You enjoy. There's a Gan Eden. Everyone has a Gan Eden in this world. Okay, it's hard. Not, I don't know, if we have so many troubles in this world, it's hard to imagine such a thing. But maybe you can picture, if you would want to find a Gan Eden in this world, if you put aside all your problems and drop everything, there is a Gan Eden. Yeah.
Is it the physical Gan Eden in Iraq? Where the Euphrates and all
the... This is mystical things. These are mystical things which I don't know the answer to. Some will want to tell you that the spiritual Gan Eden that Chazal referred to, the afterlife, is somewhere on this world. You can find, you have a cave, there's a special place to go. I don't want to go in that direction. The only point I want to make is, this is an interesting point, is there are two Gan Edens. There is the Gan Eden with the Hei Hayidia, the spiritual Gan Eden. Let's not make any mistake about it. There's the Animan, there's the principles of faith, there's Schar V'Oynish, there's the Neshama. There's another Gan Eden that we don't know anything about. And then there's a Gan Eden on this world. There is a Gan Eden on this world.
Yeah.
And every person may view different things in this world as their Gan Eden. Hashem made everyone different. You like certain things. Some people, the North Pole is Gan Eden. That's they love it there. That's the view and the feeling, the sensation. And that Gan Eden, if you want to capture the essence, the song of that Gan Eden, when man relates to it, it's this pasuk. The pasuk is the north and the south. It's a very mystical, difficult pasuk to fit into Gan Eden. The north wind, the south wind, spices besamim, and may Hashem then come and asking Hashem to partake of the delicious fruit of this location. All right, so that this is an idea. Okay, let's put that aside. Now let's discuss the pasuk in a little more detail, and you can tie everything into each of the ideas can be connected one to the other. There are two winds that are mentioned, the north and the south. Why the north and the south? So if you're a religious, observant person, the north and the south only mean one thing. Haroitzeh le, to become wealthy, lahashir, yatspin, face the north. If you want to become wise, you shall face the south. We once discussed, where is the Aron? Where does the rabbi sit? Does the rabbi sit? The rabbi wants to sit on the side of the Beis HaKnesses, where he can be yadrin, where he can tilt himself towards the south. So maybe there's a lot of halacha in that area of where you sit, because a rabbi has to be of a person who wants to be yadrim, not to be the one who wants to acquire wealth. Okay, but there's another very important deed in this pasuk, which virtually all the commentators focus on, the difference in the north and the south. When it comes to the north, the word that's used is uri. Uri means to wake up. It's a lightweight expression relative to the word Bowie, to come. Bowie means get over here. You take the person by the arm and you drag him over here. Bowie, come here. Uri, you push him. You arouse him. It has, the connotation of Uri is much lighter relative to the word Bowie. Bowie means you better get over here right now. Uri, you wake him up, you encourage him. The result might be the same, he'll come, but it doesn't have that same demand, that same oomph as the word Bowie, urgency as Bowie. Why? Because there are two things in this world. There's wealth and there is chokhmah, wisdom. Every single person needs both. Im ein kemach, ein Torah. In Torah, in kemach. You can't live one without the other. These are both necessities. But you have to have your priorities in order. There has to be more of a desire, a recognition that there is a greater necessity for chokhmah than there is for osha. They're both important. Don't kid yourself. There's no money, there's nothing. In kemach in Torah, there's zilch. No one wants to be homeless. But if the desire, the priority for wealth is greater than the desire for chokhmah, and we're talking about chokhmah Hashem, of course, to become close to Hashem, to chokhmah of Torah, even regular chokhmah, even chokhmah chitzonius, it's also such a thing that also is greater than wealth. You get into trouble. You have your priorities are not in order. That is Gan Eden. Gan Eden is when your priorities are in order. Person that wants to achieve an inner sense of Eden. Eden means delight, a pleasant life, a life that is pleasant. The first step is know what your priorities are. My number one priority is chokhmah, and my second priority is to make a parnasa. You need both, but this is the opening definition of Gan Eden. And when you have your priorities in order, then everything flows, then the Gan flows with fragrance, which represents the concept of Nachas Ruach. Besamim is fragrance. Fragrance, of course, means satisfaction. Vayarach Hashem Esreach, Anichoyach Hashem, he inhaled the delicious fragrance of Noach's carbon. And then there is delight of taste. Achila. Achila is the concept of it's very physical. It's not really clear what it means in this pasuk. It's a very difficult ending. Shir Hashirim already is already hard to understand. But at least to the opening of the pasuk of Gan Eden is get your priorities in order. It should be a Bowie of Darom, and it shall be only an Uri, a little bit, a little awakening of a desire for wealth. Yeah.
Shlomo HaMelech himself, who wrote that, when asked, what do you wish for?
Yeah.
He wished for wisdom, and then everything else
Everything will flow from there. Hashem, do you want wealth or do you want wisdom? Because you ask for wisdom, I'm going to give you everything. Right, exactly. You see that I kept concept over here, and this is the essence of Gan Eden. Gan Eden, inner delight. To have a Gan Eden in your heart, in your mind, to live a life of Gan Eden, get your priorities straight. And then you'll have nachas ruach, there'll be fragrance, and you'll have good taste. The food will taste good as well. Okay, that's the one other idea. Let's go to, now this is a little bit off the topic, but hopefully you'll come up with some connection. Gan is 53. There's a very well-known Zohar, that in the Torah there are Gan parashios. Torah is the Gan. Torah is the garden. Because there are 53 parashios in the Torah. Now the problem is there are 54 parashios. So how do you reconcile this famous Zohar, which has become part of life, the Gan, the Torah is the Gan, the Gan parashios, with the reality? Don't confuse me with the facts that there are 54 parashas. Let me give you a few of the popular answers. Number one, as Rabbi Mayevsky just said, many learn because of this problem that Nitzav Vayelach is really one parasha. Really, in the Sidra, in arranging the Torah, it's one parasha. It's just that occasionally, not all the time, occasionally, when we have a calendar problem with Shabbos Shuvah, it's not necessarily Shabbos Shana Muberes, it's when the Rosh Hashanah falls out on a certain day. So we have a technical problem, we have no choice but to separate the parashas to make things work out. We only read a half a parasha. So when you read Nitzavim, and then Vayelech, that week is really, it's a long week. You have to view it in halacha, interesting idea, as an extended 2 week, which really is 1 week. That's one approach. Another approach, it's hard to understand this answer, but it's given by all the Svarim, is that Parshas V'Zos HaBracha is not part of the calculation. Because V'Zos HaBracha already is like the, summary, epilogue, it comes at the end. The Torah ends with Hazinu. Hazinu is the Shira.
That's the end.
That's the end of the Torah. And now we have some type of thoughts. Moshe Rabbeinu's closing thoughts. His closing thoughts on the Torah. It does not count. In fact, it's the only parsha. There is something to it that in our arrangement we don't learn on Shabbos. The Zos HaBracha, it can't happen that the Simcha Ser comes out on Shabbos, right? Can it? We're not in America. But we don't learn on Shabbos. Every other parsha, B'li Yotzim and HaKlal, is read on Shabbos. That is the Gan. That's the Gan. Gan is Shabbos. Gan Eden is Shabbos. Me'in Olam Haba. The Zos HaBracha is separate apart. It's not read on Shabbos. Me'ela, that is another approach. Another approach. Now, I like this approach. I once saw this approach. If you're not going to forgive the Jewish people, I want to be erased from your Torah. Forget it. I'm out of here. I have nothing to do with this. So Hashem said, I can't do that, Moshe Rabbeinu. I can't erase you. You are Klal Yisrael. I'll listen to you. I'll forgive Klal Yisrael. Because Moshe Rabbeinu did make the statement, Hashem did to some degree erase Moshe from the Torah. Moshe's name does not appear in Parshas Tetzaveh. It appears indirectly, the first word. V'atah. You, Moshe. You, Moshe, Tetzaveh, Esnei Yisrael. What?
The whole Sefer,
wait, that's Sefer Devarim, which is Mishneh Torah.
All the parishes, I know, because he's
right, Moshe's talking. So yeah, that is Moshe. But since the Torah was given, since Moshe appears on the scene until Chumash Devarim, Moshe's name is never mentioned, with the exception of Tetzav, where Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to listen to you, at least I'm going to erase you from Parash Tetzav. I'll only refer to you indirectly with the word V'atah. The name of the parasha begins with him, but he's not there. So because Moshe's name is not mentioned, it's not part of the calculation.
Right.
If Moshe's name is not there, we only, we have 54 parashios, but we give cover to Moshe. Moshe, if you're not here, it's Teras Moshe. Torah is Teras Moshe. And if the Torah, we have a tradition, this time-honored tradition, and it's Gan, Torah is Gan. Now, by the way, all this ties into Gan Eden, because the ultimate Gan Eden is Torah. The ultimate pleasure. What is Gan Eden? Gan Eden represents the concept of pleasure. The ultimate Gan, garden, on, that an Eden is knowledge of the Torah. And giving honor to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, you are not in the Parsha, you know what, that's not part of the calculation. We give cover to Moshe by omitting Parshas Tetzaveh from the calculation of the 53 Parshas. That's one approach. Another approach, similar but a little bit different, this is really interesting, is that the truth is, Parshas Truma Tetzaveh is one Parsha. Just like Vayakel Pikudei is one set, and often, more often than not, we lay in Vayakel Pikudei one Shabbos. So the truth is, Truma Tetzaveh is really one Parsha. It's just that we lay in only a half a Parsha for Tetzaveh, and a half a parasha for Truma. Why? Because we want, because since HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe said, Mochena mitzivcha asher kasavta, Hashem cannot allow that. Hashem can, in order there should be some token fulfillment of Mochena mitzivcha, we only read a half a parasha where Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned, and that will be the token fulfillment of Mochena. But even that's not true, because really, Truma Tetzaveh is one parasha, and if it's one parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu does appear there in Truma, so we do have Moshe Rabbeinu. So those are a few ways to explain this idea of Gan Parshios, to bring out the idea that the true Gan Eden, the true Sibuk Hano pleasure, is knowledge of the Chamisha, Chumash Torah, and everything that it encompasses. Now, in Da'ya, yeah.
Why did they mention Matas
Masai?
Because that's always read together.
No, not always. Not always.
It's very, very rare that it's not read.
Okay.
The other ones
also depend on how
are separate much more often.
I don't know the answer. You have Chukas and Balak.
A couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it is a cycle of how often.
Balak is less so.
It's not a perfect system because obviously the leap.
I'll give you with all this brush. Just add an aleph to Gan.
Just add an aleph to Gan, but it's a vowel. It's not a real. It's like got. How do you spell got? Gimel. So in Yiddish, it's just an aleph. It's just a vowel. It's really gimel. There's a lot of Jewish, German, got. Okay, I hear what you're saying, but the way it's spelled in Tanakh is Gan without an Aleph.
No, I understand.
Yeah. Okay. But now, just once we're talking about 54, I wanted to point to mention there are two other, at least I know, two other parts of davening. Let's see if you know this trivia that are associated with the Gan. What are they? Anyone know? And this really fits very well with the Perek Shira. With Gan, with the garden, with Gan. When one really fits very well into Perek Shira, that is the Bracha of Yishtabach. At least Nusach Ashkenaz. The Bracha of Yishtabach has exactly 53 words. I don't know Nusach Shvar, but Nusach Ashkenaz, 53 words. Why? Because it captures, I think there's somewhere it says corresponds to the 53 parashos of the Torah. Yeah? Also 53, okay.
That's why it's the Atzmach Bukone throws it out again.
The Rambam said Vyatzmach Bukone. They have from the Rambam, he said Vyatzmach Bukone. Okay. They had that even different Nuschos. Okay, but Yishtabach, now let's take a step back. We have over here Gan, the Gan sings Shira. The Torah, by the way, is the ultimate Shira. The Atzmach Kisvu Lechem Es HaShira HaZos is the Torah. When it says here in this Perek Shira, what is the song of the Gan, Gan Eden? It says, what is the song of the Torah? The Torah sings a song, because the Torah is the Gan, because the Torah has 53 parshios. So the Torah is the Gan. First is the Shemayim. Bereishis Bar Elokim Es HaShemayim V'Es Aretz. The Bereishis, also the Torah, because the Torah was part of creation. In fact, it's the blueprint for creation. Shemayim, the Aretz, the Torah sings Shira. And the way the Mechaber of the Sefer Perek Shira cleverly alluded to the song of the Torah is the Gan. What's the song of the Gan Eden? The Torah, 53 parashas. And the song is Nachas Ruach. The Torah says, do the Torah. By doing the Torah, it will be the ultimate Nachas Ruach Torah. Yizlu Visamov, Yavoy Doidi, and by doing the mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come, HaKadosh Shechina will rest upon Klal Yisrael, Ligano, V'yoychal, and Hashem will derive benefit from this, that Klal Yisrael fulfills what it says in the Torah. So it's a very clever way of telling us the song of the Torah. Okay, now, the Yishtabach, it says somewhere, I don't know where it says this, because how far back does Yishtabach actually go, I don't know. There are 53, it was made with 53 words to correspond to the 53 parshios of the Gan Torah, the Zohar, the Gan parsha of the Torah. Why? Because the Torah is the ultimate Shira, the Atah Kisvachim is the Shira Zos, and Yishtabach is the Baracha that includes the Yishira, the Shira of Psukei the Zimra. Psukei de Zimra is a shiur that we sing every single day, starting with Baruch Sha'amar, concluding with Yishtabach. So when we conclude, when we make the final bracha over the shiur that we sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to remind ourselves of the ultimate shiur of the Torah, of Yato Kisni Mechem Es HaShira Hazos. And the Torah is the Gan, the Torah is the 53 parashios of the Torah. Okay, where else in Davening do we have the idea of 53? I don't know the significance of this. Is in Kriya Shema. In the first two parashas of Kriya Shema, there are 53 Vav HaChibors. V'ohavta Eitz Hashem Ke'acha. B'chol Avru, u'v'chol Nafshcha, u'v'chol Miyodecha, v'hayu Hadorim Mila, Ashanochi Mitzavach HaYel Ma'al Leva, v'shinantel Mdecha, v'divarte Bam, b'shivtcha V'sacha, u'v'lefcha Mdecha. Count it. In the first two parashios, there are exactly 54, also corresponded to Kriya Shema, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, and Kabbalas HaMitzvos, is in a way the essence of the whole Torah. That's why we say them every single day, twice a day. Okay, you're talking about the Aseres Hadibros, captures the Torah. But on another level, Kriya Shema captures the essence of, I think there's a Mefarish that says that in Kriya Shema, there are the 10 Dibros. Right, isn't there such a chazal? And the 10 dibros is in fact the essence of the entire Torah. And everything leads to the other, with 53 vavs. Because when you're dealing with the Torah has 53 sections, Gan Parashios, it's the ultimate Shira. Anything that you want to connect to the Torah, you have to connect with Gan, with the number 53. Okay, so this is another idea. 53 parashios, 53 words in Yishtabach, 53 vavs in Kriya Shema, all tying back to the Torah, and the Torah is the Gan, and the code over here is the song of the Torah. And now one more and two more short ideas. We know when we learn Torah, this is actually a good idea. I like this. I saw this in the Sefer. We learn Torah. We start off Asher Bochar Banu Mikol Hamim V'Nosan Lanu Es Toirasa. It's your Torah, Hashem. Not mine. It's your Torah. I'm scared of it. Then they read the Torah. You get the Aliyah. V'hoyo ekev tishmu and esamis. Go to the whole parasha. And then, it's not so bad. It's not. Asher nosan lonu terasem. Es v'chaylam v'mata b'soycheinu. Baruch ato Hashem nosin ha-Torah. Asher nosan lonu terasem. It's not yours. It's mine. You start off, it's Hashem's Torah, and after you learn Torah, it becomes yours, your koine Torah. It's your property, it's your possession. Okay, that's a very popular concept in learning Torah. It starts out as Hashem's Torah, and after your omel, the yogea, becomes your Torah. In Gan Eden, it's just the opposite. It starts out, it's more Hashem, come visit. It's my, your guest. It's my garden. Uri tzafa nuvoi seimon hafichi gani. The wind shall blow on gani, my garden. Let the winds come and blow on all the spices that are present in my gani. Yizlu v'samav. Ribbono shel Olam, we want to come? Come into the garden. Come. Yavoi dodi. Let him come. Ligano. To his garden. What happened here? V'yoychal p'imei gadaf, and he can also eat from the fruit. Hashem can eat from the fruit. Well, what happened over here? The answer is, when Hashem gives you reward, when the Shekhinah comes and rests upon you,
no,
you recognize that Hashem has given you a lot more than you deserve. A person starts off thinking, I'm going to work in this world, I'm going to be Omel V'Yogea, I'm going to accomplish, I'm going to receive reward in the next world. This refers to something mystical, obviously, Gan Eden, reward. And then when you receive your reward, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu accompanies you in your reward, you come to realize that Hashem gives you a lot more than you deserve. It's not really mine. I don't deserve it. Everything that Hashem gives you, reward, whether it's the Gan Eden of this world or the Gan Eden of the next world, it's Hashem's Gan. I'm really just a guest. I'm just a guest in Hashem's benefit. Tzadik Hashem b'chol drachav, v'chosid b'chol ma'asav. What Hashem does is more than what we really deserve. When it comes to learning, Hashem gave us the opportunity that we can be koin the Torah. It's my Torah. But when it comes to the schar, reward, we have to recognize, no matter how much we think that it's gani, ultimately we'll come to learn that it's really, it's gano, it's Hashem's garden, and the benefit that we receive is just a gift that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, one more idea. There's a saying, I don't remember the exact words, but how do you define, I once told this to you, how do you define success in life? You can view yourself successful if your parents and your children are proud of you.
What?
If both your parents, previous generation, and your children, the next generation, if they are proud of you, they're proud of you, that means you're successful in life. Which means you're true to the Messiah of your parents. Your parents, they look down in Gan Eden. You know, we're happy with our child. And your grandchildren are holding our Yorei Shemayim, their Shemer Torah Mitzvos, and they look up their parents, they're proud of their parents. Right? Rachman Litzlan, if the children are different than the parents, I don't want to know from this ancient relic. I don't want to know from this type of lifestyle. If a person finds himself in a situation where both his parents and his children have nachas, that means you have achieved success in life. This is an expression, this is a saying, I think I heard a Bill Wine say something like this, he elaborated upon this. That is Gan Eden. That's Gan Eden in this world. How do you know this? Because Yitzchak, when he wanted to give the brachos to Esav, who he thought was Esav, and Yaakov came in disguise, what was the praise that Yitzchak said to Yaakov? He said to him, "Vayigash vayishak lo vayorach." Yitzchak inhaled esreach bigodav vayivarechei vayomer, "Ah, gevaldik! I have such nachas. Re'e reach bini ki reach sodeh asher beruchol Hashem." And what does Rashi say? This good fragrance. He was odor. He was wearing the hides of goats, which stink. Rashi says, Gan Eden. And how did Yaakov Avinu Yitzchak know about the reach of Gan Eden? So the different interpretations of the Midrashim. One of the interpretations is, he knew about it from the Akedah. Because the Akedah, he was already dead.
Yeah.
And he came back to life. The Akedah is where the Akedah was the place where Yitzchak had the experience. What do you mean about Gan Eden? Nichnasimo, the Reach Gan Eden. How does the Yitzchak know from Gan Eden what it smells like? That he should now say, "Oh, look, I have all Gan Eden over here, my son Yaakov." Because Avraham, who gets the major credit for the Akedah? We have to know, it was Yitzchak also, he gave up his life. But the Akedah was a Nisoyim for Avraham Avinu. That's a Chazal, that's, and everyone likes to frame it, "Oh, it was a Nisoyim for Yitzchak, he gave up his life." Yeah, that's right. But the primary Nisoyim was given to Avraham Avinu, "You sacrificed your son." Right? The 10th Nisoyim. Ato yadati ki yirei lekim ato lo chasach nisim chasich asher haftin mene. That act brought into this world Gan Eden. The 10th Nisayon that clinched it, Avraham Avinu, and at that moment in time, Gan Eden opened up. That's what it says in the Medrash, and that's where Yitzchak learned about the Reich of Gan Eden. He learned about it through the actions of his father, and now he sees the Reich of Gan Eden in his son. So Yitzchak here is sandwiched in between a father, Avram Avinu, Gan Eden, and a son, a grandson, Gan Eden. He's sandwiched in between. That's Gan Eden. When the grandfather and the grandson, they have the Reich of Gan Eden, and the one in the middle smells both. He smells the Reich from the father, and he smells the Reich from the grandson. He smells the Reich. That's the true Gan Eden. To have the Shalshelas Hadoros, three generations, Kol Sheyesh Ben, a son and a grandson, three generations, and you can stand in the middle and you can see the fragrance from both sides. This is the true Gan Eden. Okay, so these are just a couple of ideas, short ideas. We'll stop here. Bid Hashem tomorrow.